The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
As y'all know, it is not unusual at all for the eyes of the nation and many times the world to be focused on the state of Ohio when it comes to politics. It's been said you can't be president unless you go through Ohio. Well, we've got an election coming up, primary, and the general election for the office of Senate. And once again, the eyes of the nation are focused on the state of Ohio. And there is a full slate of candidates, particularly on the Republican side, for the office of senator from the great state of Ohio. One of those candidates is my guest, J.D. Vance. You probably have heard of his runaway bestseller, Hillbilly Elegy, and later made into a movie. He is an Ohio boy, and he's running for Senate. It is a delight and a privilege to welcome J.D. Vance to the program. J.D., welcome.
Thanks for having me, Bob. Good to be with you.
It is my pleasure. Obviously, from by your own description, your hillbilly roots, you have done quite well financially. You certainly don't need the money from Senate, and you know how dirty American politics can become. So I am really curious, what in the world caused you to decide to run for political office?
Well, you know, I obviously care about the country, and I've got a 4-year-old and an 18-month-old. I care about the kind of country they're going to grow up in. And, you know, I kind of agree with you. I look at politics and I say, why would anybody want to enter that process? But, you know, if only scumbags are willing to put themselves out there and actually try to make a difference through public policy, then we're going to keep on having a government, I think, that doesn't work very well and isn't very responsive. And I just don't want to live in the sort of country that, you know, the world's greatest constitutional republic, where we assume that the political system is just broken indefinitely. I think especially, you know, for those of us who come from a Christian or conservative, or in my case, both worldview, we've got to have good people in there. We've got to have people of integrity and honesty and who actually care about these issues in a real way.
Well, I am fascinated by your background. You spent most of your time in Middletown, Ohio, but also in Jackson, Kentucky. And I'm fascinated by your relationship with Mama and Papa. J.D., tell us about Mama and Papa, who they are, obviously, and what impact they had on your life.
Well, I appreciate you asking. I really think that they were, you know, the people that made all of the good opportunities that I've had in this world possible. You know, I call them Mama and Papa, and you know, they raised me really because my mom struggled with opioid addiction for a big chunk of my early life. And like a lot of grandparents around our state, they stepped up, and even though they necessarily couldn't afford it and didn't have the resources set aside, they said, look, this kid needs a home, and we're going to be the people who provide it to him. And, you know, Mama in particular, I think, was this woman of incredible contrast. She was incredibly disciplined and loving, you know, made sure that I cared about school and went to work and did all the things that I had to do. She was a woman of very deep Christian faith. I mean, she was the most thoughtful Christian that I ever met, even though she didn't even graduate from high school. At the same time, you know, she had a mouth on her that I imagine would make a lot of your readers blush. She cursed like a sailor. And it's kind of funny to me because you wouldn't, listening to her, think to yourself, this woman is such a loving and caring and devout Christian, but she was. And I think that, you know, all those parts of her really made it possible for me to have a good life, you know, because I needed that toughness. And I think I needed the kick in the pants sometimes, but I also needed that love and support. And she was able to provide all those things. I don't think I'd be here without her.
Are you really a descendant from the Hatfields of the Hatfields and McCoys? Is that the truth?
Well, yeah, it's by marriage, actually. So famously, okay. And I, by the way, didn't know this until I started doing research for the book. But there's even a famous song about this guy. His name's James Vance, which, of course, is my name. And he was the brother-in-law of Devil Ant Hatfield, who was the leader of the Hatfield. And you know, the legend is that Jim Vance was actually the person who kind of started everything. He was sort of the first person to fire the first shot in the famous Hatfield-McCoy dispute. So yeah, as far as I can tell, there is a very direct connection between my family and that famous Eastern Kentucky, West Virginia family feud.
I think that's fascinating. did you have any idea at all that Hillbilly Elegy would take off like it did? I mean, it was a runaway bestseller. Did you have any clue?
No, not at all. And what an incredible blessing it's been just to meet so many people because of the book and have them tell me their stories, which I think one of the cool things about the book is because it's so open and it's so personal that people, you know, feel a willingness to share with me, you know, all the crazy and important and interesting things that have happened in their life. But I believe that when the book first came out, the publisher, you know, did a print run of 10,000 copies, which is a perfectly respectable, you know, decent selling book. You know, it's not going to get you on the bestseller list, but it's a pretty good outcome for a book, especially from somebody who's never written before. And I haven't looked at the exact numbers, but I think it's coming up on close to 3 million copies.
Wow.
And I just cannot believe that happened. And I ask myself why all the time, or, you know, what it was. Obviously, it hit a particular moment in American history and in American politics. But I really do think a big part of it is just people love to read about Mamaw. She was such a larger-than-life figure, and I think a lot of people have somebody like that in their family.
Is she still living?
She's not. No.
Okay.
So I enlisted in the Marine Corps after high school in 2003, and I left for Iraq in 2005, and she died just a couple of months before I left for Iraq. And, you know, God love her. I think she just wanted to get me on the straight and narrow and on the proper path. And she got me there, and she knew I was doing pretty well in the Marine Corps and learning a lot of good things and meeting a lot of good people. And I really think that once I was out of the house, she just didn't have it in her anymore. And she was very old and very sick by the time she passed.
Wow. Well, you may have come from hillbilly royalty, but you came up in a very poor family, from what I've read, an extremely dysfunctional family, basically raised by your grandparents. How much of your difficult childhood has contributed to J.D. Vance today?
Oh, it's a big part of it. You know, I mean, first, I try to think of American politics and just our country through the lens of my grandparents, who were hardworking people. They did not have, you know, college educations, but, you know, they really loved this country in a much more than a skin deep way. You know, they loved its history. They loved its great figures. And I try to think that at some level, that's what the Republican Party should stand for, is not, you know, not the donors, not the people who really call the shots in the Republican Party, but we should stand for the working men and women like my grandparents who just, you know, love this country and send their kids to fight in its wars and go to work and support its big industries and all that stuff. I also just, you know, one of the most important views that I have, and something I think, unfortunately, our politicians are too afraid to talk about, is that, you know, the most critical ingredient of having a good life in this country, it's not money, it's not what color your skin is, it's whether you have a mom and dad in the home, it's whether you have a stable family. And I think that is an incredibly influential part of who I am today, is a recognition that if we want kids in this country to have a good life, which I think all of us do, you know, we got to really worry about the crisis of fatherlessness in this country and in our communities. Because if you don't have a dad in the home, if you don't have a mom in the home, the deck is really stacked against you, and that's a big problem that we don't talk about enough.
Yeah, we're talking with J.D. Vance, and J.D., I can have you to the bottom of the hour, correct?
Yes, sir. That's
all right. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to J.D. Vance, candidate for the United States Senate from the great state of Ohio. Quick break. We'll be back.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome back. J.D. Vance, candidate for U.S. Senate, is on the line with me. J.D., evidently Sherrod Brown is not a part of your fan club. I don't know whether you've seen his email today out to his supporters. I have it here in my hand. Concerning your comments on abortion, Sherrod Brown says, and I quote, his comments are horrifying, dangerous, and have no place in the U.S. Senate. J.D. Vance, when did you come to your current position on life issues and abortion, and how did you come to that position?
Well, it's actually the first political issue I could ever remember caring about. I wrote an essay in the eighth grade about a political issue of our choosing, and I chose the abortion issue. And I think that, you know, I'd seen people in my, you know, my community have abortions, and I had seen, you know, the way that it often comes from this feeling that people don't have any other options. And it just sort of made me realize that we've done something pretty tragic in this country, which is that we've turned babies into inconveniences to be discarded instead of, you know, life and blessings to be cherished. And that attitude, of course, I think falls hardest on our unborn kids. But I also think it makes our whole society a little more evil and a little less caring towards one another when you take the most basic and innocent human life and you treat it as something that you can throw away if it's not useful to you. And I guess that just always struck me as really wrong, and I've always cared about the issue. And, you know, I've gone through phases of, I'm sure like a lot of kids who, you know, get out of the home and are exposed to the world in a different way. And, you know, I certainly went through, you know, phases where I was a very devout Christian and then didn't call myself a Christian anymore and then came back to the faith later in life. And but even when I was not an active Christian, even when I wasn't going to church, I mean, I remember I still was pro-life. It just always really mattered to me that we should treat, you know, these young, innocent people as life to protect. We shouldn't just, you know, we shouldn't just throw them away. And I think that's what abortion really does to our society. It warps our minds into thinking that babies are inconvenient to us, and they're not, right? I mean, you know, I'm a father of two, and we'll have more kids eventually. And I think that, you know, a society that doesn't protect the unborn is a society that really is at war with itself and at war with basic decency. And I unfortunately think that's the society that we're in right now.
Well, let's get to the elephant in the room, the question that you're going to be asked by probably every single person who interviews you between now and the election.
Sure.
President Trump, you were very, very critical of Donald Trump. You publicly said you would not vote for him. You would probably vote for an independent. You said some very unkind things about Donald Trump. And in this current Senate election cycle, it seems like every Republican is saying, I'm with Trump more than he is. And no, I'm more with Trump. So I've got to ask you, do you regret the things that you said about Donald Trump? And if so, why did you say them?
Well, I was definitely wrong about Trump. And I think like a lot of Republicans back in 2015, 2016, I really didn't see him as a viable future for our party. But I was wrong. I think that, you know, I frankly had been disappointed by a lot of Republicans. You know, I'd voted for George W. Bush, for John McCain, for Mitt Romney. And I think there was a part of me that just assumed that politicians were fundamentally people who didn't deliver on their promises. And I think Trump did actually deliver on big parts of his agenda. And I, you know, for what it's worth, yes, I was very critical of him back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. But I was also very publicly supportive of the president in the past several years and have gone on TV and, you know, even taken some arrows in the back to defend parts of the president's agenda, defend his judicial nominations, defend some of his trade policies. And so, you know, it's not like I haven't been supportive of core parts of the agenda or the president personally as president. But I, you know, I can't hide from the fact that I criticized him 4 or 5 years ago.
JD, if it makes you feel any better, I voted for him, supported him after he was president. But during the primaries on this radio program, I called him a buffoon with bad hair. I did.
Yeah, I mean, look,
I did.
All of us have had an interesting journey with our president. I think all of us realize that. At least most of us realize, in our movement, that he did a good job and he actually cared about people.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, one of the things that's crazy to me about the Biden administration, Biden personally, is you hear him talk about these vaccine mandates and whatever you think about that issue. I've been very opposed. But, you know, when he talks about unvaccinated Americans, he talks about them like as pond scum. And one of the things I always remind people about Trump is that he actually seemed to like people. He liked the people in his country. He liked his fellow citizens. That's a very important quality in a leader. And I think something, you know, clearly I didn't fully appreciate until I saw him in action a little bit.
Yeah. We're going to run out of time here very quickly. I knew this would happen. How do you differ from the other 478 Republican candidates for Senate? How do you differ from all of the other candidates? And we've got about a minute and a half left.
Well, I think one, just my personal background. Look, I know the effects of bad policies, and I know what it feels like to grow up in a home without a whole lot of hope, and certainly without a father in the home. And I think that just influences the way that I think about issues in a way that it's different from a lot of the other candidates. Yeah, the other thing I'd point to that we haven't really gotten into is that I think our party, our movement has to have a wake-up moment where we realize that it's not just the government that we have to fight against. I mean, some of our biggest multinational corporations are actively fighting social conservatives and making it harder for us to live our values. You know, we saw this in Texas with the recent abortion bill. I think it was a good bill, but you saw some of the biggest companies in the world actively fighting people who are trying to enforce that bill and make it possible to protect the life of the unborn. We've got to wake up in this movement and recognize that it's not just the bureaucrats. It's increasingly the biggest multinational corporations that are more invested in China than they are their own country.
Sure.
We got to fight against them, too, if we want to preserve the American way of life.
Another case in point, the Georgia election law and how corporate America treated Georgia as well.
That's exactly right. There are a lot of issues, unfortunately, like that, where I think we have to wake up and realize who our real friends are and who our enemies are.
All right. How can our listeners find out more about J.D. Vance and your campaign?
Well, we'd love for them to go to jdvance.com and volunteer or support us in some way. That's where you can also find more information about issues that I care about. Background on me. I'm on Twitter at jdvance1, on Facebook at jdvance for Senate. Please go and find us and follow us on social media, engage with what I'm trying to do, because at the end of the day, I can't win this race without your listeners, and I really want them on my team.
Well, I appreciate it. So many other candidates, I've got to beg and plead. Actually, your folks came to me, and I appreciate the fact that you wanted to communicate with my listeners. I appreciate that. J.D. Vance, thank you. I appreciate it very much. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, Bob Burney Live will continue.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.